That was such a, that was a word from God, you know. And I hope you,
amen.
I hope you learned. Okay? Did you learn anything? All right, cool. I hope you learned. I hope you, that was a very, very true word, you know. Sorry about the heat and everything. That was a very true word, you know. And, you know, can we thank Mr. Ben again for having that word? You know, about weights and stuff like that. And you know, I think you know, as a person, you know, let me just give this advice. And as a person, you need to learn how to. Have I seen you for a while? No, you've not been around for a while, have you? Where have you been? School. Okay. So, I think that as a person, you need to learn how to make journals and edits, or right, you just need to learn how to write things down, you know. So I'll advise or even instruct you that, you know, as you go home today, you know, you should know what's doing you. Hallelujah. Huh? Are we together? You should never be unaware of what is doing you. At every point in time, you should know your problem.
You get?
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you should always know your problem, meaning you should be that honest with yourself. You know, and you know the things that are hindering you from going to the next level. So learn how to write things down, you know, and pray about them. When I say pray about them, don't say, God, take this thing away. That's a rubbish prayer. Is you that is doing the thing, and it's you that will stop, you get, right? But when I say pray, I mean tell God that, okay, God, these are the things that are hindering me, and then I am ready, you know, to move on. Give me grace. Do we understand? Yeah, pray about everything. I don't know why people don't. This is a very unfortunate thing. People don't pray about everything. Pray about everything. If one girl is doing your eye, pray about it. You know, say, God, this girl is doing my eye. Anytime I'm around her, my brain will just shut down. You understand? Are we together? Pray about it now. Why don't you want to pray about it? You think God is ashamed? Amen. So pray about everything. Know who you are. Be sincere with yourself. And then go to God and say, God, these are the things weighing me down. You know, if it's this relationship, this is it. At least I just want you to know that me, I know my issue. You know, at least it's a step in the right direction. Praise God. And then you come up with plans on how you're going to evolve past the things weighing you down, the distractions. You need to come up with a plan. That's what makes you intelligent. See, sit up. Well, that's what makes you intelligent. Hallelujah. Huh? That's what makes you intelligent. When you think about your life this way, your brain will be working. You understand? So come up with a plan. If it's, I don't know, whatever it is, you know, have a regimen that is going to make sure that, you know, you're not weighed down by those things. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you happen to be in church, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. You know. So I hope you take this word seriously. You know, that was a really, really powerful word. I tell you the truth. That's one of the most beautiful things you can hear at your age. You know, not you, but, you know, A lot of people don't like to hear those kind of things. A lot of people want to hear revelation. Hallelujah. Huh? What did I say? You know what I mean by revelation? A lot of people want to hear deep things. We have been there. It's just that by the grace of God, we have come out. So we now understand that this thing is about being simple. Hallelujah. So, Mr. Ben, thank you so much once again. I really, really enjoyed what you... You know, I listened to it not as the pastor, but as somebody that was sitting down being blessed by another. You know, and I'm very happy that, you know... That, you know, if you hear such words, you're going to, you know, be useful to God. And I'm very happy about that. What's the time? All right. So let's say a short word of prayer. Father, we thank you once again. We thank you for every soul that is gathered here. Lord, we thank you for what you have been doing in our lives right up to this moment. We thank you for all the victories, all the blessings, all the breakthroughs. Lord, I ask for another breakthrough this afternoon in the name of Jesus. I ask that as we go deeper into your word, as we go again into your word, Lord, let your light shine in our hearts. Reveal yourself to us. Have mercy on us. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Are you sleepy? No, thank you. Are you sleepy? Thank you. I think like you're not ready to receive. Let me just quickly teach you that thing so that it won't be like... can we check if the table is free now? Let me just quickly teach you how to receive from God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Or no. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Now don't be offended. You don't know how to receive because you don't know. So that's what I want to teach you. You see, the major element for you to, well, firstly, when we come before the presence of God, you know, to fellowship. When we come before the presence of God to fellowship, we have the capacity to receive from God. Now, what I mean by receive from God is not just to hear God, but it's to, let me use the word impartation. To receive a piece of God. Hallelujah. That's what happens when we come together to meet with God. Now, what I just said is very simple, you know, but I expect you to value spiritual things. So, receiving an impartation from God, or receiving a word from God, receiving grace from God, in essence, just God rubbing off on you, is the reason why, one of the reasons why we gather. And that is not an automatic thing. Amen.
Amen.
It's not automatic. It's not like if you're in church, you must receive. And receiving is not falling down under the anointing. Praise God. Are we together?
Hallelujah.
You can fall down under the anointing and you did not receive anything. Okay? Huh? Every spiritual manifestation comes from three places. It can either come from the Holy Spirit, it can come from a demonic spirit, It can also come from your mind. Are we together? Let me tap him. Huh? It can come from where? The Holy Spirit. What else? A demonic spirit. What else? Your mind. Meaning you're the one that can conjure up things yourself. Okay? Every spiritual manifestation, even speaking in tongues. You know, there are places where they teach people how to speak in tongues. They say, see after me. Rogo, rogo, rogo. You know, there are places like, not small places though. You see plenty of people there. Like plenty. Like plenty. You understand? Are we together? Yeah. Recently, I saw my daughter praying in tongues. I went to tell her, stop praying in tongues. I said, I know you want to pray like the people around you, but well, I didn't tell her this one. But I don't even think you're born again yet. So just pray the way you understand it. You know, don't copy. I appreciate you. The one I told her was, I appreciate you that you want to pray. You're influenced by the people around you. But your tongue is fake, and I don't want you to grow up with fake tongues, you get, so don't worry, it's okay. Yeah, fine. Just talk the way you know the thing. You know, eventually, when the time is right, you pray in tongues. Do you understand? If you see the tongue is hot, though. Like it's hot tongues. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, it's loud. She's shouting. You know. But I just called her, I said, come. Okay, when you want to pray, just pray what they said you should pray. Oh Lord, you know, bless us today. That's what you should be saying. You know, you're asking God to bless you today. Why? Because through imitation, you know, children capture things, you know. She's copying the things that are in her environment. So it's possible that you can pray in tongues and it's just your mind, nothing is really happening. You know, that's why it's also possible that you can fall down and nothing happened. Nothing really happened. You know. Hallelujah. I've seen people like that once or twice. They like pastors. If you're a pastor that doesn't have self-confidence, you'll be deceived. Because, you know, none of us will like that thing now. By power, I just did like this. You know? If you lack confidence in what God called you to do, you'll be easily deceived by people like that. You know? It's just emotion. Some people can. If a girl is watching Wizkid concert and under emotion, she can remove bra and toss the thing, she can fall down. It's the same kind of. Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah, it's the same operation. It's just soul. Praise God. Are we together? So what you want when you come to the presence of God is not a soulish experience. That's why God doesn't give somebody, you know, God doesn't give everybody the ability to preach. Have you noticed? Are we together? You've noticed, have you? Someone cannot preach. It's not, there's nothing the person can do. It's the way the person talks. Just like now, the way Ben talks, that's how he will talk. See, Jesus comes. Are we together? Do you understand what I'm saying? So if you're the type of person that you choose to hear those that are exciting, you see, it's not really God you want to hear. It's men you want to hear. And it's not really God you want to receive from. It's entertainment that you want to be entertained. Are we together?
Yes,
praise God. If you're with me, shout hallelujah. So, God is a very serious person. I tell you the truth. God doesn't need music or you know. At least we thank God that the ACs are on now. But, you know, if the place was still hot, you know, if you think that the presence of God, it means hot area is where the presence of God, you know, you can miss God. Hallelujah. So then how do we receive from God? We have to be intentional about it. I won't talk too much so that I can move into my topic proper. But we have to be intentional about it. You have to give yourself a body language. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah. You have to give yourself a type of body language. You see, if you respond based on your environment, you will always miss God. Because God is spirit. Do you understand? God is spirit. See, if the ACs were not on here, it's you that knows that it's hot. The Holy Spirit does not know that it's hot. The Holy Spirit does not feel heat or cold. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you have to give an active body language. Huh? That's it, though. I'm just simplifying it for you. You have to learn how to purposely make your body respond. Amen. You see, God, the Holy Spirit demands a type of body posture. Huh? The Holy Spirit demands a type of body posture. If you don't give the Holy Spirit that body posture, you are proud. That's how the Holy Spirit will interpret it. I mean, if I've been in church one time when you felt like you just, maybe during worship or something, you just felt like you should kneel down. Anybody? You know? No, those things are easily ignored, Abby. Yeah. But you see, that is actually, the reason why that nudge just quickly came is because that's what the Holy Spirit wants you to do at that point in time. Are we together? Yeah, that's what the Holy Spirit wants you to do at that point in time. And if you don't do it, it's because of pride. That's how you interpret it. Amen. So body language is very important in the presence of God. You need to actively gather yourself and actively give a posture of eagerness and expectation. Are we together? In fact, you should have already started being expectant before you came to church. Amen. Are we together? Yeah. I hope all of you will hear this thing. You know, I don't want anybody to lose out, but I hope you learn this thing. You know, it's a very simple thing, but this thing will carry you far with God. So you even need to have had an expectation before you came to church. Okay? The way God thinks that you are serious is when you have an expectation. Do you understand? If you're going to church and someone says, why are you going to church? I say, I'm just going there. In the spirit, they'll say you're an unserious person. Do you get? Are we together? Yeah. So you need to have an expectation that God, as I'm coming today, I'm coming to meet with you. You guys. Now, it is when you have that, remember what I told you that, when I was saying that it's not about falling under the anointing that means that you have received from God. You remember, Abby? Yeah. When you have that expectation, what will happen, or what happens, is that God will steadily and surely begin to match your expectation. Meaning that it's not going to be a one Sunday or one Saturday thing. Okay? It's going to be a thing of consistency. And then you just notice that after a while, God has poured things on the inside of you. So when you are actually growing spiritually, you don't feel it that you are growing spiritually. Okay? You can never feel it. Get. So spiritual growth is not that, oh, I attended 6-hour retreats. I feel good. I've grown. That's not what spiritual growth is. Are we together? You usually only know that you have grown spiritually when something happens to you. And then your response, you will notice that your response is different from how you'll have responded 2 years ago. Are we together? That's usually how you can then track that. Ah, it's like I've grown up. But as at when that change and transformation is happening, you will not feel it at all. This is the reason why there is no meeting that can make you holy. Are we together? Oh, okay. 23. That means the scripture is 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. 24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let's go back to 24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good work. So, one of the reasons why the apostle was admonishing us or encouraging us to always fellowship together, or to always come to church, or to belong to a community. Are we together?
Yes,
yeah. One of the reasons why the apostle was encouraging us to belong to a community is because of this verse, that if we consider one another, we can stir up love and good works in our midst. Do you understand this? Meaning that even if you're somebody that is not prone to good works, amen, right? By being in a community, you can be influenced and provoked to produce good works. Hallelujah. Are we together? So, if you're going to be somebody that's going to bear fruit, if you're going to be someone that's going to transform yourself, you're going to have to be somebody that is influenced in a positive way. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah. It's simple, Abby. Is it simple? Yeah. Is it simple? Does everyone understand? Can you sit up, please? So, if you're going to be somebody that can produce good works, a lot of that is hinged on you being influenced or you being provoked. In KJV, it says provoked, Abby. You being provoked, you being influenced to produce good works. So not all good works come internal. Some good works come as a result of influence from your environment. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
That's the whole point of putting people in a community. God specifically put us in a community so that we can inspire ourselves to be greater. Amen. And this greatness, it's not, you know, one of the things that you should never do is that you should never postpone when you can start producing fruit. In other words, you can postpone marriage, you know, at 16. I don't think you should be thinking about marriage, you know. Are you thinking about marriage? Yeah. No. You know. Deborah, are you thinking about marriage? No. Okay, me. Are you thinking about marriage? No. Okay? Now, most of you, somebody here is actually thinking about marriage. He came to me and said he wants to marry. You know. I said, it's okay, it's fine, you're old enough. Shall I go and walk? You know. So, you shouldn't postpone fruits. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
You can postpone marriage. You can postpone so many other things. But don't postpone fruits. Don't say that it's until I grow that I would bear fruit. You understand what I mean by bear fruit?
Yes, sir.
What I mean is that be a fruitful Christian. I think I need to explain that because I don't want anybody to assume. But it's not fruit is not age-based. Amen. Remember the story of David. David was, as at the time of that battle, the most mature person spiritually in Israel. Are we together? And he was a teenager. Okay? In fact, the Bible is full of teenagers that won great battles for the Lord. Are we together? Yeah. And I've been doing this thing for a while, and I've discovered that it's not a fluke. You know, it might seem like a fluke. When you see, you know, there are, for instance, 14-year-olds that think like 22, and there are 25 that are like 12. You know, you see it. And, you know, at times, my thing is a fluke, that people are just born with mature mind. It's not true. It's not true. If you check the environment, you will see something that costs. In fact, a lot of times, what we call maturity is not maturity. It's just that the standards of the world are so low. Do you get what I mean? All right? For instance, these days, because of how sheltered children are, you know, I don't know, many of you might not meet, but eventually in life, you'll meet 18-year-old that can't cross road. They are there. You understand? They are there. You know. Are we together? Eh? Are we together? Yeah. There are many 19-year-olds that we tell them now from beggar now, go to Agege, go to that shop in Agege, buy that thing and come back. They don't know the way, they don't know how. Are we together? Yeah. So why is it that they don't know how? It's not because their brains are not working, it's that their environments shelter them. You get the particular kind of upbringing that you have that is very sheltered. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, you can't look at such a person and say that, you cannot look at a 16-year-old that can cross the road and say you are mature. You know that person now, if maybe the parent of that child, I know all those people, their parents are always angry and complaining, even though they're the ones that support the child, but they're always angry and complaining. If they now see maybe one young person or somebody their age, you're now start harassing the child. Can't you be like that, your friend? Can't you be like this? Yeah, he's mature. He's doing this and he's doing that. You know? But you see, that comparison itself is wrong because even the expectation of a 16-year-old or a 17-year-old is ultimately based on a subjective level. My point is that you can't hinder youth. Hallelujah. Huh? The mind is garbage in, garbage out. What you put in the mind, you will reap. You understand? So if you put something serious in a mind by 12, the mind would be active. Are we together? One of the reasons why I started teaching you guys like adults is, you know, this is our teaching style. It's not strange, but it's, you know, this now, you know, typically you have to go and do one special course to talk to teenagers because maybe during the teaching you break, then someone will come and do dancing, and, you know. But part of the reason why I talk to you the way I talk to you is because the Lord revealed to me that, look, see, he told me, he said, look, see, don't think that thing that I was doing at 12 years old, don't think that thing was Superman. Or, you know, many of us see Jesus as Superman. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, what kind of genius? So at 12, he was already, you know, maybe like all those child geniuses that are at 12, they're already in university. You understand all these kind of things now? Yeah, that's how most of us see Jesus. I said, that's not true. This is garbage in, garbage out. You understand? It's because of the environment that he was in, the conversations that he was having. Hallelujah. Are we together? Yeah? The conversations that he was having at home. He told me, he said, look, this thing is not fluke. It's the conversations that I was having at home, the brain developed the normal way. You understand? It's just that most people are not serious with life. Are we together? Are you with me? Let me prove what I'm saying. Can someone give Bolaji, are you with the mic? Please. Tell us, what do you want to do with your life? Tell us your age. How old are you?
Good afternoon, everyone.
Look at them now. Look at them.
Good afternoon. So my name is Bolaji, and I'm 12 years old.
You're 12 years old. Oh, perfect. Okay, so what do you want to do with your life? Just see the natural thing. You don't need to think. If nothing comes, it's fine. Okay, what kind of woman do you want to marry?
I don't know, sir.
Huh?
I don't know.
No, no, I mean the kind of character that she should have.
Well behaved, and she to be a godly.
No, talk. Hold the mic.
Okay, so the kind of woman I want to marry, her character, she to be well behaved. And she to be a godly woman.
And she should be a godly woman. Okay. Do you know what it means to be a godly woman? I'm just asking. Do you know what it means to be a godly woman?
Not really.
Not really. Then why did you say godly woman? So say it in your language. If you are to marry a woman now, do you want a woman that speaks in tongues? Just say it in your language. Do you want a woman that wants to come to church? Yeah, shy, Abby. Yeah, don't worry. Let's clap for him. Let me look for Elizabeth, how old are you? 16. No, you're too old. How many people are 15 and below? If you're 15 and below, raise your hand. Who is that person on cap? Zion. Okay. Raise your hand now. Let me see. Is there anything with your hair? Okay. Do you want to answer? No. Yeah, raise your hand. 15 and below, raise your hand. Okay, give Michael at the back the. I mean, sorry, the name I've given you is Michael. Sorry. Okay, so what do you want to do with your life? How old are you?
I'm 14.
Okay. So what, yeah.
So I want to start my own tech company later on that I would also use to do mass evangelism and all of that.
You use the tech company for mass evangelism? Okay.
And currently learning skills to that. Then I also want to build other industries for development sake in different countries. But mostly, like, the mantle is just for building businesses for Jesus.
Oh, okay. So you want to build businesses for Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's clap. No. Still hold the mic. So what kind of woman do you want to marry? Are you thinking about marriage now?
No.
Okay. But if you are to marry somebody now, what kind of woman would you want to marry? Or in the future, whenever I marry, what kind of woman would you?
Okay. Somebody who's joyful. Somebody who wants to go to church before me. Okay. Somebody that was fulfilling her purpose before she met me.
Wow. Let's clap for. Ebukun, what of you? Let's give Ebukun the mic. Yeah, stand up now. What do you want to do? What do you want to do with your life? What do you want to do for God? How old are you? Okay. Ah, you're too old. Any Asha, talk. Is a mic working? I don't think.
I want to study nursing, actually. And I want to study it in the aspect that I can help globally. And through like my course, I can gain people's hearts for Christ. Yeah. And that's
that. Okay. Oh, hold on now. Hold on. Oh, you're not done. Let's clap for her. All right, so what kind of, if you were to marry now, what kind of man would you want to marry?
A man with vision, like with purpose, like a godly purpose, actually.
Yeah.
With vision and,
Don't say it anyway. I'll correct it. Don't say it anyhow. I'll interpret it.
A man who can also like, let me see. A worker, actually.
A worker.
Yes. Okay. In the church, a man that loves God.
Okay.
And can also put me like maybe when I'm falling, maybe do there's like difficulties, can also put me on track.
In training.
Track.
On track. Okay. I understand. Can we clap for her? There's a reason though why I'm asking all these questions though. It's still part of my teaching, so don't lose me. All right, the under 15 people now, raise your hand. 15 and below. Raise your hand. Are you not proud of your age? Raise your hand now. Let's see you. Okay. All right, let's give the mic to Aisha. All right. So tell us your age and then your what you want to do with your life or what you want to do for God.
All right. So I'm 14.
Okay. Old.
And then I want to be the greatest lawyer in the world.
Mm.
And then also I want to be a very a woman of God, very strong woman of God.
Woman of God, have you?
Okay. Yes. And then
so you want to be going around preaching, yes. Starting up churches?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay.
And then I think that's
it. Yeah. All right, because of time, can we clap for her? Yeah, Bolaji, you can come and sit down. Thank you all for your answer. Those are so interesting, so powerful answers. Now, you will notice that how old are you, Aisha, again? 14. Now, you notice that typically, if I to do a survey of all the 40-year-old girls in the world, you won't find much that are saying they want to start church. Are we together? Huh? what would they say? I want to be an influencer. Content creator. Are we together? No, it's not that it's bad to be a content creator as long as you're making money. But my point is that if in a particular environment, that is because you people are spiritual people, but in a particular environment, now a 14-year-old comes and says, I want to start church. I want to be preaching everywhere. You know, people can say, wow, a 14-year-old. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that's what's happening in that temple. Do you get my point? So when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and stuff like that, it's not like it was an unreasonable thing. He was just evolving into the line of work that he was called to do. Amen. And because that is not the common thing, people were shocked. They're like, wow. So don't despise your age. Can you say that? Can I say it one more time? Yeah. Huh? You're not too young for God to visit. There's nobody here that is too young for God to make an example of. Let's go to 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no one, this is Paul talking to Timothy. And he's saying, let no one despise your youth. But be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Can we read it together? I want to go. Can we read it together? I want to go. Hallelujah. Now, at this time that Timothy was a pastor in a church, you know, Timothy started, we don't know, but we shall estimate that as at when Paul met Timothy and took him, he was in his teenage years. Okay? That's when he started working with Paul, because he went up Paul on some missionary journeys. And as at the time that he became a pastor, he was in his 20s. Are we together? Or at least early 30s. So he was already like the pastor of like a very, very large church in his 20s. Are we together? Yeah. And so naturally, somebody like that, it's a natural human thing to feel like you are not worthy, or like you don't have the necessary wisdom, and you know, especially in this world, you know, people use age as a sign of ranking. Are we together? Well, me shout hallelujah. So, Paul here was encouraging him, and he was saying that don't let anybody despise your youth. Okay? Not just that, but be an example to the believers. See, we're not talking about being an example to the world. That's a level. But what he's here saying is that Timothy should be an example to believers in word, meaning in how he talks. Are we together? In how he conducts himself, his character, his nature, how he sits down. Are we together? Yeah? how he sits down, how he stands up, how he eats his food. That's what conduct is. In love. Okay? In spirit. In faith. You know, Timothy should have faith more than everyone. Why faith? Because faith is how we do everything. Faith is how we faith is everything. And in purity, he should be an example. So somebody that is pastoring a large church, in his church, there's elders fellowship, there's singles fellowship, there's women's fellowship, and he's not married. You know? You know these guys, you know, Paul's kind of ministry, you can't marry. You know? And he's not married, and he has to be an example to all these people. Hallelujah. So it is possible, okay, to be young, to be 16, and be an example. Amen. Okay? So when I was talking about being influenced, this is what I mean. Or this is the range of what I'm talking about, in the sense that when we are in a community and we are being influenced to manifest these things. Hallelujah. Are we together? I've been influenced to manifest these things. And here, Paul is expecting Timothy to play that role of influencer. So you be an example. So God always needs an example. Are we together? Do you see what I'm talking about? Yeah. So it's the way, it's the technology through which there is change and transformation. When people see something that they can look up to. Okay? And then there's that provocation. There's that influencing. Hallelujah. So in all of this thing, what am I saying? What I'm saying is that you need role models. Okay? That's the easy contemporary language for it. You need to be inspired to become greater. Hallelujah. If you are not inspired, it's because the people around you are not inspirational. You understand? You have dull people around you. Okay? If you are struggling with the desire to be holy, it's because the people around you, you are not the people around you. You have surrounded yourself with useless people. Do you get my point? Huh? The decision. If you are struggling with the decision to pray, it's because you yourself, you are around people that are useless, you know? People that are just eating food anyhow. Are we together? You understand? If you're going to live in the kind of house that Pastor Wale is living in now, nobody will tell you that you need to pray. You know? Amen. You need that experience to go out, to live with a prayer. It's a judging experience. Every day, you just be like, Kai, I'm wasting. See how somebody is praying. You know, you sleep, wake up, the person is still praying. You know, all those kind of things. You need to... Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So that's what God has done, though, when he puts you in a community. He has stresslessly introduced you to transformation via that inspiration. That as you engage and as you interact with people, you're going to be provoked. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So if you're a wise person, you need to maximize that operation in your life. Are we together? You need to maximize it. I need to ask yourself, who are my role models? Who am I looking to? Amen. Because we'll continue next week. I'm closing now. But when we look at how to learn, you can learn via teaching and instruction. Okay? But you also learn via observation. Are we together? Is that how human beings learn? You learn via observation. That's what they were talking about when he said he should go and look at the ants. Go and observe the ants. So if you're a lazy person, the solution to your laziness is you should put it in front of ant hill and just be looking at them. Maybe the sense will enter you. You know, that these people so weak individually, but they work hard. They don't have luck. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
This is the person on the script. I've been referencing one scripture since. You should have gone there by now. Okay? So you learn via observation. It's a very powerful way you learn. In fact, it is actually, if not more powerful than teaching. Amen. Observation. Okay? That's why Satan knows his people. You see, if like be coming to church, as long as under your phone, there's one social media influencer that you are watching, that's who you will become. Do you understand what I mean? Observation. That's how people learn. Okay? The other way that you, or not learn, but the other way that you learn, the other way that you learn how to do good is by imitation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Huh? What did I say? Imitation. Meaning, the way you're seeing somebody do it, you just copy it. Okay? Let's read like two scriptures, then we close. Let's go to Philippians. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11. Hallelujah. Can we read this together? Let's read it well. One, two, go. Yeah. So Paul here was talking to people and he just, you know, he was, I don't want to say ranting, but, you know, in the earlier chapters of this letter, he was lambasting them, saying all sorts of things. And then as he began to close, I said, let me see, you people. Because the issue with this church was that they didn't have the correct they didn't know who to follow. Okay? So Paul started the church. But then maybe the way I can place it is like they wanted to sack their father. That's the way I can, you know, like you are no longer our father. We are not following other men of God. So after all the lambasting and everything, that's why when he started, I started with some of you are for Paul, some of you are for Apollos, so this kind of thing. So he addressed all those issues, immorality, everything. He was not like, look, see, people, you need to align with me. I'm your father. You have many instructors, but few fathers. So he now got here and now said, imitate me, just as I imitate Christ. Huh? Meaning, don't pray, don't read, but on some issues, just copy what I'm doing. Do you get what I'm saying? Huh? Don't think too much. Anything you are doing that you are seeing me do, as long as it's applicable, just do it that way. You don't need to stress yourself. It's a way to learn. Are we together? So you need to know the people you are imitating. Who am I copying? Amen. You need to purposely know it. Huh? Are we together? You need to purposely know it. So it says, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. Let's go to Philippians 4, verse 9. Can we read it together? One, two, go. Can we read it together? Again, rather. Would be with you. So, what you have learned and received and heard and saw in me. So, that's the observation. Abi? Some things you will hear them. Some things you will see them. Amen. Amen. I'll be hearing. I'm teaching you a very powerful thing. Or never mind the way I'm saying it. Simple like this. Eh? I'm saying that some things you will hear them. Some things you will not hear. You will have to see. Amen. Are we together? See, if your eye is not working, there's a lot of information you will not get. Huh? Amen. If your eye is not working, there's a lot of information you will not get. You're going to have to observe. You have to have an eye that can observe. Firstly, you have to understand, who am I observing? That's the first problem. Because, you remember how we started this whole thing? Spirit is different from your feeling. You remember now what I was saying? Do you remember? Eh? When I was talking about every spiritual manifestation, it can either be spirits, demons, or yourself. You get? So, it's not necessarily who to observe, is not necessarily who you like. Amen. This is the problem that men have. Men only want to look up to who they like. That's the problem that the Corinthian church had, because Paul was not an impressive person. Do you understand my point? Right? Paul is not the kind of man of God that has 7 convoy. Amen. You know, that's not how Paul was. So the people, they just looked at him, he's just a normal random guy, you know, he's a nice man, you know. So who God has ordained you to observe is not compulsory that you will like the person. It's not compulsory that we feel an affinity for the person. Are we together? Huh? Are we together? Yeah. So for instance, if you're the kind of person now that likes pastors that have good dressing, you know, that dress funky, you know, me, I'll disappoint you. You know? Because me, I don't do hip hop. Amen. Are we together? Do you understand what I'm saying? So you're going to have to look and say, who am I going to observe? Not just hear, but observe. So you need to watch. You need to be watching people. You need to have an eye that can watch people. Observe things. Okay? And then when you have observed those things, these do. That's imitate. And the God of peace will be with you. Amen. Anyway, we'll continue next week. But you should know that, you know, the simplified way I just said it is just role models. I think everyone understands that English, so there's no need to make it complicated. So, you need to have people that you are not just hearing, but you are observing. Okay? And imitating. You get. That's how you would transform yourself. You can't transform yourself, or rather, you would always be transformed into what you are looking at. Okay? Are we together? What you are looking at is more powerful than even what you are hearing, and what you want. It's what you are looking at you'll be transformed to. And you need to have the discernment. If at all you want to pray, or when you pray, you should pray that, Lord, give me discernment. Let me be able to judge character. You get? Because you have a veil of what you like. And that's why you can impress a human being. If you think about it, no human being should impress another human being, because nobody knows what's inside a human being. Do you get my point? Do you understand what I'm saying? Nobody knows the real part of man. Nobody knows it. So if you understand what I'm if you understand that, it should mean that you should never be impressed by a human being, because no human being can show you deep down what is in him. It's hidden. Only God knows that part of a man. Okay? What people show is the external part of themselves, which is perfectly curated to impress. Do you get my point? That's why your influencers are influencing you, because they are a perfect curation that appeals to you. Amen. All the people you are following online is a perfect curation that appeals to you. Okay? Are we fighting? No. The way he looked at me. Are you okay? Huh? So, if you just go through life, say, I like you. That's deceptive. Again. Because who you like is not compulsory, that is the will of God. That's who you like. So, if you're going to be wise in life, you're going to have to not just say, I like you. You're not going to have to be asking yourself, who should I like? Who should I imitate? You have to take control of that process. If you just flow, you'll miss it though. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you have to take control of the process and be like, who should I like? Who should I imitate? You have to ask yourself. Praise God. Father, we thank you for this word. We give you praise. Thank you, Father. We ask for discernment in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We ask for eyesight to open our eyes to see your will. Father, we ask that we shall live from your will and not our emotions. In the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Let me just say that one of the reasons why you need to a lot of people assume that, you know, for instance, as a pastor, you don't assume that everybody that comes to your church is your member. Do you get my point? Right? Because it's one thing to like somebody. It's another thing to decide to follow that person. So, as a pastor, people will come because they like you. You understand? So, let me flip that. So, you need to... The level of influence and grace that can flow from people's life to you would be magnified when you make a decision. Are we together? Are you hearing me? When you make a decision that this is who I will follow, then the connection becomes stronger, and then it amplifies the level of grace that is entering you from that person as you're observing and copying, imitate. So it's a specific decision you need to make. Are we together? Yeah, it's not something you just freestyle, because your heart, at a certain level, your heart might still be at the level of, I just like my pastor, or I just like my church. Do you get? So what I want you to do is that as you go home today, I want you to write down the names of 5 people that you are going to call your role models from now on. five people. Nobody, none of them should be from afar. No, Bill Gates is my role model. The other one is just decided. No, you're just playing around with nothing. You know, five people. Five people that are your role model. And I want you to write it down. Are we good?
Yes, sir.
Can you do it? It's simple now.
Yes,
if it's not up to five, it's okay. But just, and don't make it more than five. Because I want you to streamline. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So just do that, and it will help your mind become clear and more focused on how to go about things.